that we've been calling Dear Pastor, because frankly, it's been your notes that we've been using for our sermon series this summer. We've covered a large variety of subjects. I've been trying to answer your questions about Scripture and about faith and about Christian living in general, and we've covered a lot of ground. Today is the first time, actually, in the series that we're going to talk about prayer. And so, to prepare our hearts to hear God, let's pray and ask Him to lead us, okay? Heavenly Father, we open our hearts and our minds to You as we open the Scriptures this morning. We ask that You would speak to us through them and by Your Spirit, that You would help us in this journey to learn more about how to talk to You, how to converse with You, how to have a really full relationship with You. And Lord, it's something many of us struggle with. And so I pray that You'll give us focus and that You'll give us new things to consider and that You will bring transformation in this time together. May we reflect You in all ways. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but sometimes I struggle with prayer. You ever struggle with prayer? Sometimes I do. I struggle with, you know, just the simple things like what to say, how to say it, what to pray for, and sometimes who to pray for. You know, I don't struggle with everything, but what I struggle the most with is how to begin, the middle part, and the ending. The rest of it just comes as natural as breathing, but those other parts I struggle with. Now maybe that's just me. I mean, how do I know that I'm praying effectively? How do I know that I'm in the right space for God to hear me? And is God really listening when I'm praying? Now, here's the question that I was asked this week. I want to put the full question up. It's, Dear Pastor, how do I pray effectively? And am I praying with God so He knows my concerns and listens when I pray? Well, that covers a lot of ground, doesn't it? But we want to try and do that because, you know, these are questions that we all struggle with at one time or another. Basically, I want to break this down into five areas. There are five things that I think we need to consider this morning. This is not a long five-part sermon with full, you know, no. We're gonna go through them a little bit quicker. But we do have five things I want to consider. I think they're pretty important. I think if we get serious about these things, they'll help us to cultivate a deeper, more confident prayer life that is rooted in Scripture and in a real, honest communion with God. So let's look at these five things. And the first thing I want to put on the list this morning is building our prayer life on the right foundation. That's really where we need to start. What is the foundation of effective prayer? Well, do you have a relationship with Jesus? Have you believed what He has accomplished on the cross? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that He died for your sins and He rose again on the third day? Do you believe those things? And then, have you asked Him to be your Savior and your Lord, the Lord of your life? See, being a believer is the basic foundation to answered prayer because it starts with prayer. You can be guaranteed that God will answer this prayer if you pray it. If you call on Him, He will save you. Now, we start there because prayer is built on that, and all prayer is built on that open door to a relationship with God that begins when we receive Him as Lord and Savior. It all starts right there. So, how can I pray prayers that are effective? Well, effective prayer begins with faith, persistence, and alignment with God's truth. Let me say that again. Faith, persistence, and aligning ourselves with God's truth. Now, that belief that you placed in Jesus when you were saved, that's the foundation. Belief or faith in Christ is necessary for answered prayer. It's the foundation of all prayer. All prayer has an element of belief or faith. We wouldn't be asking God something if we didn't believe that God exists, right? Does that make sense? We have to start there. It's pretty basic. Mark 11:24 says, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. See that word believe? It's right there. That's faith. A couple of weeks ago, when we talked about the great cloud of witnesses, we talked about Hebrews 11 and 12. And in Hebrews 11, 11:6 rather, reminds us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. When you pray, you need to do it believing that God hears you and that he's able to respond, at least in the very basics. You know, that's the very least we should be able to believe. Now, faith doesn't mean that we always get what we want, but it means that we trust God's wisdom in how he answers. Hebrews 11 is that great hall of faith, you know, with all that long list of faithful believers. And if we only look at that, you know, we hit that beautiful definition of what faith is, which is somewhat obscure. The promise of what? It's the what? Well, it's really, you know, I think we said that it's like being a farmer. You know, you trust in what you've planted. You know how the crops are planted. You know what the seed is. You know how it normally behaves. You have this pattern that's established. And so you believe in what's yet to come, as if the harvest is really already here. We believe in God. We believe we've seen him act in history. We've seen him act in the history of his people. We've seen him act in our own lives. We have an experience of God. So when we come to pray, we have faith that has a foundation. First of all, on Scripture. First of all, on Jesus. And then it begins to build in our lives on the things that we know of God, the things that we learn of God. When we read that long list of believers in Hebrews 11, it might be a little intimidating. You might read all these great people who went before us that God commends for their faith, and you might be a little intimidated and say, well, I don't know if I can measure up to that. But how much faith does Jesus say we really need? Matthew 17, Jesus' disciples failed to cast out a demon from a boy, and they had to get Jesus, and Jesus came, and Jesus was able to cast this demon out very easily. And so they were confused. You know, they knew that Jesus had given them the power to do this, the authority to do this in his name, and yet it didn't work. Well, how come it didn't work, Lord? Well, it's because of your little faith. Because of your little faith, he said. Well, you know, some teachers and some churches have assumed from that statement that you have to rev up huge bucket loads of faith in order to see answered prayer. But that's not what Jesus says, is it? Jesus said, and we know this well, for I truly say to you, if you've faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Well, it's not about how much faith you have, but about if your faith is genuine, and if your faith is focused in the right place. That faith has to be in Jesus. It can't be in ourselves, right? I mean, we can't even put our faith in the power of miracles, because the power of miracles is in Jesus. In Jesus himself. And that faith involves trusting in God. Trusting in who he is, trusting in what he's done, and trusting in what he can and will do according to his promises. I love James. James can be interesting because he can be a bit of a downer as he goes on, and yet he still brings us such inspiration for faith in the book of James, and it's one of my favorite books. He says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Well, there's that word belief again, and now we have it paired with doubt. Well, doubt is kind of the opposite of belief in our minds, isn't it? But the way that he phrases it in this particular part in the first chapter of James, he starts talking about being double-minded. Now, it's not so much about being uncertain, that kind of doubt. It's about a kind of doubt that hedges its bets. It's about the kind of doubt that isn't solely relying on God. It's in the back of our minds, we're looking for other options, secondary options. Now, if we approach God in a way that only makes him one of many options, it's not very likely that we're going to receive an answer to prayer, is it? That kind of double-minded, that kind of doubt. In Luke 18:1, Jesus told his disciples a parable, and the parable, the root of the parable, the reason for the parable is so that they would always pray and not give up, to persist. Persist in that faithful prayer. But it all starts with faith. It all starts with belief. And even a tiny bit of genuine faith is enough when we pray. You know, we can always pray for more faith, right? Love that one statement, that father who comes to Jesus who says, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Now, there's an interesting prayer. He believed, but he felt like he didn't believe enough. He didn't try to rev it up. He didn't try to get it through enthusiasm. He came to Jesus. Lord, help my unbelief. He asked for more faith. Think about prayer like planting seeds. You don't see the fruit immediately, right? You water it with faith and with patience and you see it bear fruit. And just as the gardener trusts the process, we have to trust God's process. We have to trust God's timing. You know, God's timing is everything. Well, let's think about that. Now, here's the second thing we want to consider this morning. And the second thing has to do with praying according to God's will. That's a hard one. You know that prayer isn't about bending God's will to ours, right? You know that? It's not about us forcing God to do something. It's about aligning our hearts with his heart. Praying according to God's will praying aligned with his will, it's not like having a secret decoder ring that gives us all this inside knowledge about what God's will is in every situation. That's not what that's about. Praying according to God's will has to do with submitting our wills to his. 1 John 5:14 says, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Well, in the Lord's Prayer, what do we pray? Your will be done. Who are we talking to? We're not talking to ourselves. We're talking to God. God's will be done is what we're praying, right? So let me ask you this. When you pray, do you want your outcome or do you want God's outcome? Now, it's okay for us to pray for our hopes and our needs. But in the prayer, we need to make room for God's will somewhere. Now, what if God gives us what we ask for, but what God had in mind was something so much greater in the long run? Have you ever prayed for something and then been so thankful later on that you didn't get it? Have you ever had that prayer? Man, I've had that happen to me several times. Very, very early, as we were just starting ministry, and I was called, the very first time I was ever called to preach and to be considered for an assignment in a church, we went there, and man, we came away from that. We're all excited, and wow, you know, maybe they want us to be to pastor this church, be the pastoral couple at this church, and I was really praying that that was going to happen, and it didn't happen. And they called somebody else, and about 6 months into that, that church went under total collapse, and there was all kinds of stuff that went wrong there, and we were so thankful that God didn't call these poor, inexperienced people into that situation. You know, sometimes we pray for things and God doesn't give them to us, and we just think it's the end of the world, and really it might be the beginning of a new world, the beginning of something special, as it was for us. God's will is always better, isn't it? You know, even Jesus prayed in the garden a very serious prayer. Not my will, but yours be done. What is God's will? How do we get an understanding of God's will? Romans 12:2 tells us, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Now here's the kicker. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Well, how do we renew our minds? How does that happen? With scripture and prayer. That's why we keep encouraging you to jump into this reading program or one like it, you know, something that keeps you in the Word every day. You know, you don't have to do ours. We just want you to be in the Word every day, listening to God, talking to God, reading. What he has to say, what his will is revealed right there in the words of Scripture. 9 times out of 10, we're saying, oh, I wonder what God's will is in this situation. We need to open our Bibles and see what God said about that subject. We get ourselves into trouble when we ignore that, don't we? And as we steep ourselves in Scripture, and as we pray, God's will and God's word takes hold in our minds. And as we learn to live it out, we're transformed and our minds are renewed by the Holy Spirit. And God begins to produce fruit in you. And I think it's important, I know I point this out a lot, but it doesn't ever say for us to seek the fruit. It says seek the spiritual gifts. It says seek a number of other things, but it doesn't ever say seek the fruit. That's because as we mature and we go and grow in Christ, fruit begins to grow too. And it becomes the evidence of who we are in Christ. Fruit is the sign. But only if we submit our will to his will we bear fruit. The more we hang on to, the longer it takes. Because God will begin to convict us a piece at a time about those things that we hold on to. You know, have you ever had that experience where you come before the Lord, and I've done this too, where I come to the altar and I pray and I release everything to the Lord. Lord, please take everything. Take my whole life, every little part of it. And then 6 months later, the Lord says, well, what about this thing here that's tucked away in this closet over here in the corner? What about that thing? You gonna let me have that? Can I have that? Oh, no, no, Lord, that's mine. You can't have that. I earned that. That's my thing. And the Spirit says, if you want it to mean something, it has to be my thing. You have to surrender it to me, give it to me. And just see what I give back. And it's always better. It's always a bigger blessing, isn't it? When we release those things to the Lord. That doesn't mean it's easy. But it's always worthwhile. Do you trust God? Do you trust him? Proverbs 3:5-6 says this, trust in the Lord, and then the end of that piece is, he will make your paths straight. It starts with trust. Do we trust God? Do we really believe in Him? Do we really trust Him? Imagine a GPS. Boy, where would we be without that? I was just reading about the guy who invented GPS the other day. It was his birthday, you know. And where would we be today? We'd be back to reading those old maps and arguing about directions. Now, it's kind of hard to argue with the GPS, right? You get that voice. But imagine you're driving a route and you take a wrong turn. What happens? You get that. Mine has a little thing that flashes on my phone. It says, recalculating, recalculating. And sometimes the voice will actually say that, recalculating, you know? God's will is kind of like that when we pray. We're praying and we may be praying in the wrong direction, and God's Spirit gently nudges us in the right direction and says, take the next turn. Not this one. Take the next turn. He takes us towards His better path. So it's a really easy step from praying according to God's will to praying with God, isn't it? Or is it? What does it mean to pray with God? There's that old chorus from 1 Corinthians 14:15 that comes to mind. It was one of the first choruses I ever learned. Pray in the Spirit and with understanding, oh, magnify the Lord. Do you know that chorus, that little chorus? Write out a scripture. Write out a scripture. And it begs the question, what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? What is being said? What is Paul saying to the Corinthians when he says, pray in the Spirit and pray with understanding? Is that something only certain people can do if they have certain special gifts? Is that something, praying in the Spirit, is that something only some people can do? Those people that glow in the dark? That have it all right? That have everything perfect? Is that what that means? That's not what that means, is it? What we're talking about here is praying in communion with the Spirit of God. You know, prayer is not a monologue, right? Prayer is a dialogue, a Spirit-led dialogue. We pray with God. We don't pray at God. It's not just all one direction. We're praying with God when we allow the Holy Spirit to guide us and to intercede on our behalf and to shape our desires and take us where God wants us to go. Romans 8:26-27 says, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. You ever have those times where words fail you? You know, sometimes it's in times of loss or tragedy or some other thing, and the words just won't come, and I don't know what to pray, and I just don't know how to pray. I just know I need to pray, and I need to be here with God and talk to Him. And there's the will of God again. Who better knows the will of God than God Himself? And He searches our hearts. He knows our hearts. And He knows His Spirit, and He knows what is best for us, and He brings them together. And sometimes we need to just let the Spirit carry us along. And we need to be in agreement with the Spirit of God. You know, when we pray, we need to expect that our prayer time is going to be a conversation. We need to not only talk, but we need to stop and listen and let Him lead us. And that should be a regular part of our prayer time. But very often, you know, we run in and throw a prayer at the feet of God and run back out again. And you picture the angels of heaven going, what was that? Did you hear something? We need to take time to listen to God. And Ephesians 6:18 says, pray on all occasions. All occasions, not just some occasions, not just those really tragic occasions, not just those ones where we're really panicking, but pray all the time, on all occasions. Think of prayer like a dancing partner, you know, or like dancing with a partner. Who leads? You don't lead. God leads. You follow His lead. And the Spirit nudges us and prompts us and moves us into rhythm with His will. Till pretty soon we're dancing together. You know, prayer is the real dancing with the stars, isn't it? Because the star is God. Have you ever felt the urge to pray for somebody that you haven't seen for a long time and they tell you a little later on that they were in crisis right at that moment when you were praying? Have you ever had that happen? It's pretty cool, isn't it, when that happens? Sometimes we're prompted to just pray without knowing why. Or we're prompted to pray for a specific person or for a certain thing. That's Spirit-led prayer. That is God inviting you into His work. We just need to accept the invitation. When you get that urge, stop and pray. You may not see the blessing from that all the time. You may never know why you were called to pray in that instance. Or maybe God will surprise you with something quite supernatural that you can't explain in any other way. And that's God at work. Listening for the Spirit to speak and to lead makes our prayer more effective because He's the one leading. Well, what about knowing that God is listening? I mean, how do I know that God is listening to my prayer? You know, God is not distant, and God is not distracted. He hears every prayer offered in truth and faith, even the ones that we whisper through tears. God hears those too. God is not distant. He's attentive, and He's compassionate. And He responds. He's responsive. That's our God. That's the God we worship. How many times have you heard somebody say, oh, God's got better things to worry about than my little prayers? No, He doesn't. Your prayers are just as important to God as anybody else's prayers. And here's news for you, if you didn't know this already, God is an incredible multitasker. Says He holds the universe, holds the world, holds all of creation together with His word. Everything happening everywhere at once. Sounds like a movie title. But God is there and He's sustaining all things, but He hears every single prayer. He doesn't miss one. You know those times where you feel like your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling? You ever have those? I have those. And it's like, oh, it just feels like I'm not getting through. But theologically, biblically, I know that it's true that God is always right there. In fact, it might help you to remember that one of God's great attributes is His omnipresence, that God is everywhere at once, all the time. It means He's here, right here with us, right now. And it means that He's right there with you at 3:00 in the morning when you're lying awake and you have this thing on your mind, right? He's right there with you, no matter where you go. The Lord is near to everyone who calls on Him in truth. James also reminds us that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective, not because of our own righteousness, but because of the Lord's righteousness working in you. The Lord has declared you righteous because you have received Him. He has made you righteous. He's made you clean. He has declared you free from sin, even though we're still sinners. But we no longer identify as sinners, we identify as saints. God spoke to, or through, the prophet Jeremiah when he said, "Call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." Picture a parent listening intently to their children's bedtime fears. You know, "Mommy, there's a monster under the bed." And all those fears that children have that creep up at night when we're going to turn the light out. Can you leave the nightlight on? You know, all those things that happen. A parent, we don't just dismiss them, or we shouldn't just dismiss them. We draw near and we listen and we love and we comfort. And that's what God does. When we pray, God draws near and he listens. Have you ever prayed for peace during something stressful? And nothing changes in the circumstances, nothing changes, but on the inside, you sometimes have that calm and that clarity that just kind of comes on you. Well, that's God's listening and his responding in real time. Even in terrible grief and loss, even in dire circumstances, even in tragedy, the Lord can hear us and that peace can descend. I can't tell you how many times that's happened to me. I can tell you all kinds of stories about when I prayed and that peace fell. And I'm sure many of you could too. Well, we better move on. Praying. Oh, there's that, what I was looking for. Let's keep going. Keep going. Keep going. There we go. Praying in Jesus' name. That's what we're looking for. One final thing we need to consider about praying effectively has to do with praying in Jesus' name. Praying in Jesus' name is not a tagline. It's not something we tag on the end because it's a nifty closer. It's a declaration of access, authority, and relationship. We approach the Father through the Son, don't we? Through Jesus, we gain access to the Father and ultimately to heaven. Through faith in Jesus, we're saved. We gain eternal life. We get to live forever in the new heaven and the new earth. That happens through that relationship with Jesus, through that faith in Jesus, through that salvation that comes through Jesus. In John 14, Jesus told the disciples, "I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son." That's why I'm doing it. "You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." And Colossians 3:17 tells us that everything we do, we should do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. That might adjust what we do. Well, think of Jesus as the key that gives you access to the throne room of heaven. Without him, the door doesn't open. But with him, you're welcomed as family. Amen? Well, let's talk about the ending. How do you tag your prayer? In Jesus' name, amen. And we run out the door. You know, like we just sort of mumble those words and just sort of come out the mouth. But we need to be careful how we utter the name of the Lord Jesus. It's not out of habit, but because you know the reason that you're heard is through him. This is kind of a crude analogy, but it's kind of like signing a check, you know? When you get to the bottom, it's the signature that authorizes the request. Whose name is on the check? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Amen? In his most anguished moment, Jesus models surrender. "Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, but not my will, but yours be done." Effective prayer ultimately isn't about changing God's mind. It's about aligning our hearts with his. Well, as we wrap it up, let me just give you five quick things here that you can use to deepen your prayer life, even just starting today. The first one is Begin each prayer with surrender. Put yourself before God. Surrender your heart. Lord, not my will, but your will. Lead me. As we approach God, do we do it humbly? Do we acknowledge who he is? Do we even recognize that we're not God? That's an important one. One of the keys to spiritual growth has to do with surrender, with submission to God and his will in our lives. Second thing is pray scripture daily. Well, what do I mean by that? You're reading the Bible and you're reading a scripture and you come to a thing, and I often highlight these things, and those of you who are doing this reading together, we can see what each other highlights and stuff, so it's kind of cool and maybe kind of scary. Because people know what we're highlighting, and they might wonder, why did he highlight that thing? But a lot of the times I'll read something and I highlight it because it makes me think of something that I desire to be in Jesus. Some kind of change that I really feel like God might want me to make. And instead of just passing on past that scripture, why not stop and just make that part of your prayer? Pray that scripture. You know, you can use scripture as a prayer, right? Psalm 23 is a great place to do that. Romans 8 is cool. It's long, but it's cool. If you read Romans 8 and you pray through Romans 8, I don't think you can come out the other end the same as you went in. The third thing is listen in silence. Take that silent time. Be still and know he's God. And listen for what he might want to say to you. In fact, let me suggest, if you're not really used to doing this, take 5 minutes and set it aside and do that. And maybe just ask the Lord to speak. Maybe like Samuel did. How did Samuel ask the Lord to speak? He said, "Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening." Great words. Number four, pray in Jesus' name with intention. Do it on purpose, not by rote. Reflect on his authority and his love and before you say it. And remember that it's Jesus who seals the prayer. And then the last thing here is keep a prayer journal. You know, this may be new to you, but record your requests and your answers and maybe how your heart is changing. You might be surprised what you'll learn. When you pray, think of what one answered prayer in someone's life can do. Like throwing a stone in the pond, it ripples out. That ripple can go on for generations. That one prayer could really affect thousands of people. Let's think of that next time we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of prayer, not as a ritual, but as a living conversation with you. Teach us to seek your will above our own, to trust your wisdom, even when we don't understand, and to surrender our desires to your perfect plan. May our hearts be aligned with yours, and may our prayers reflect your truth and your timing and your love. Holy Spirit, guide us as we pray. Intercede when the words fail us, and we ask that you stir our hearts with compassion and lead us into deeper communion with the Father. And Lord Jesus, we come boldly in your name. You're our advocate, our Savior, our access to the throne of grace. May our prayers be shaped by your character, empowered by your Spirit, and offered in faith that you will hear us and respond. We trust you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.